Episode 49.
Don't feel guilty about making money. Otherwise, you know what? You're going to buy yourself a job, and a terrible one.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter. A warm welcome to Bob Greenwood, President and CEO of the Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center. Bob, are you ready to go on point?
Let's get going, Carm. Ready to go.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here with episode 49 and Bob Greenwood with Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center. But first, hey, did you catch our first ever face-to-face video podcast on the subject social media best practices? Well, find the replay on the homepage or on the sidebar on the episodes page. I had Greg Buckley, Doug Whiteman, and Kim Walker as my first guests, and the content was of high quality. Good stuff on our first episode, face-to-face. Check it out. Now, Bob Greenwood, AAM. He's president and CEO of Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center Limited. Now, AAEC is a company focused on providing business management resources and development for the independent sector of the aftermarket industry. Bob has over 40 years of business management experience within the independent sector in North America, consulting independent shops on all facets of the business operations. His 18 years of running his own local consulting and accounting firm in Ottawa, Ontario, created some of the most productive and financially successful entrepreneurs within the independent sector today. Now, Bob is a frequent keynote speaker at various industry, company, and association conventions throughout North America, and he brings a very unique insight from his personal experiences working with the service provider, the wholesale jobber sector, and warehouse distributors. We cover strong topics so worthy of your investment to listen. We talk about paying yourself an owner's salary, how much business training is needed each and every year, why culture is so important, why good people leave businesses. He's got five business building blocks you're going to want to hear about, how the wife of the business owner really helps get things done. He talks about succession planning and it's not being discussed properly, and who are the most likely suitors to buy your business. And find out what Bob says is the return on $1 invested in training and education on yourself and your people. Hey, this is a really big episode for taking notes. So sit back, listen to learn at least one thing, and I know you'll do more. Here we go. What holds business people back from asking or forgetting help?
Well, that can be a complex question in one sense, but over my career, I find that a lot of shop owners, business owners actually, have many insecurities, and especially coming from their background. They may think that asking for help is a show of weakness, or they're embarrassed to ask for help. They also really ask themselves, where do I turn to get help? And what kind of a person am I going to be dealing with? I don't want to sound stupid. I don't want to be embarrassed. So I think they have a trust factor as well. And that all comes into play when they're looking at things. But a lot of insecurities about if I have to ask for help, I must be weak. It is a male-dominated area.
So I must be weak, but you know, there's this pride thing, the king of the lion, I've been successful, and people look from the outside and say, wow, this guy's on fire. But deep inside, he knows that he's got to make some tough decisions for the future of his business. When you find a person who's got that pride thing going and it just kind of, if you will, you wean it away, what does it take? Are there special questions? What's the step over the line scenario?
I try to be very proactive and bring it up rather than them talking about it. In other words, I say, you know, I've talked about clients and I've taken on clients, and you know, Carm, I've run into a lot of people that have insecurities, and you know, it's nothing to be insecure about at all. So I'd rather be proactive in bringing it up to start with and have a discussion with them about that. And you'll watch their body language and their eyes, and you know, they'll say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I said, don't ever be insecure about anything. We're going to be discussing an awful lot. It's going to be personable, but we must get through it.
I like that. I like that. You bring it up. You lay it out on the table probably right in the beginning, especially if you recognize a client you think you can help, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
So too many shop owners think like techs instead of like owners. How do you get them to overcome that?
That's a challenge because got to remember their initial passion was a technician and they happened to stumble in or had the opportunity to get the business. But they do think like a tech at all times. And you're really rearranging their mindset from a technician or an employee point of view to an entrepreneurial point of view. And they've got to be taught how to think like an entrepreneur. So that is where the personal coaching really comes into play.
Will owners accept this and move on and say, oh, wow, I'm an entrepreneur?
No, they don't accept it that easily because they have their insecurities coming back to the top again about what if I make the wrong decision. So therefore, it's important to point out the amount of discussion that we have to have and it must be ongoing.
You're a psychologist?
No. Believe me, I feel like I am sometimes.
I laid that up and you hit it out of the ballpark for me. Thank you. So can an owner look in the mirror and say, hey, the problem's me?
That's a tough one for them because, let's face it, it's easy to point the fingers everywhere else. They can point the fingers even to their past, their background, my history of myself. It's, you know, that's where I am. That's who I am. And when you listen to them, you can see that they want to push forward, but they're having that tendency to fall back on an excuse. So they have to really push to become that entrepreneurial thinking.
So to get someone into your program, and maybe we'll talk about this later. I know there's a process and you only accept so many people. Do I end up as a shop owner thinking, listen, I'm not making enough money. What do I have to do to earn a professional salary? And is this a motivator for a person to want to work with a business coach?
Actually, we have found that a lot of them feel guilty about making a lot of money. And again, that comes back to their background of where they were. They were a technician. They were in the so-called trades. They don't understand it's now a profession today. And being an owner is an actual position in the company, just like a technician is a position in the company. So they have got to get their head around return on investment. You should be making this kind of money, good money, for your family. Your staff should be well paid, but don't feel guilty about making money. Otherwise, you know what? You're going to buy yourself a job and a terrible one.
I love it. I think it's a huge takeaway that ownership is a position in the company and they should be professionally paid.
Professionally paid and professionally trained. Education is a huge thing.
Oh, just huge, huge. Where's the state of planning for the future of shop owners? Do they need a strategic plan and do you help them with it?
Very much so. And we try to educate our clients to always think 3 to 5 years out. What is your business going to look like in 3 years? What's it going to look in 5 years? What is the culture of your company going to be? Let's start talking about that and putting down our thoughts onto paper. And then we can build that vision and lay out a path to work towards it. There is no silver bullet. It is a journey.
Good stuff. You said that they have to find that training, I don't know, curve, knowledge, input. They not only have to accept the fact that they're an owner, but they have to get trained like one. How many hours of business training does an owner need each year?
We're a very big believer that a business owner needs a minimum of 8 days of training a year.
Did you say 80 days?
Eight days.
Oh, 8 days.
Minimum 8 days per year. Just like competent technicians now require 100 hours of training a year. Just to stay level with the depth of their knowledge. Well, management, the owner, has to be properly trained because the whole business is fluid, the economy's fluid, the industry's fluid, it's always changing, and you've got to adjust as you go along. Very important you stay on top of that.
Your company is providing this training?
Correct.
So the group of clients that you work with are expected to participate in this training. I mean, if they don't show up, what do you do, boot them?
We have some pretty stern discussions, okay. But it's all planned out. It's all planned out, and they believe in it, and they understand it.
Bob, as boomers age, is there any discussion on succession planning, putting businesses up for sale? Walk me through that, because I believe a ton of our listeners are of that boomer age.
You're absolutely right, Carm, and succession is a topic that is not being discussed properly in the industry today. A lot of people, for some reason, think that, oh, next year I'll look at selling my business. No, it doesn't work that easily. It takes 4 to 7 years to set up a business now for proper succession, because it has to be a profitable enterprise that has a process that you can sell, that has a history of profitability. And because of your processes and how you do business, you have a whole formula for success. You can't just put that together overnight. It is a 4 to 7 years.
So you're looking to, what, improve cash flow, margins, legitimize the P&L. All of these are one of
all them? All of them, but focused on net income.
Okay.
If you don't have the right net income, because of the automotive field the way it is, that most owners will have to probably subsidize or finance their own buyout. And that buyout can be 8 to 10 years. So you have to be able to finance a buyout out of your net income. The new owner must still be able to take out a professional income, and the company must have a return on investment so it can continue to move forward. So if you're not have the right profitability, what have you got to sell?
So if you're holding the paper on a business that you know is making a 20-25 point net, then, and I'm not sure if I'm in the ballpark on that, at least you know that the payment can be sustained by the business you have left.
That's right. And that has to all be proven out first.
I get that. Now, with you being their success partner coach, I would imagine that you're basically saying to the new owner, I'm in there because I want to ensure that my new owner gets paid. So are you part of the new transaction?
We would like to be. But not in all cases. The third parties take over. They have sometimes their own coaches and their own accounting staff and everybody to look after their end of it.
Okay. All right. What do you see? People from outside the industry or the lead tech friends? Who's buying these businesses that you're selling?
The best sales are done internally because you're dealing with staff. And maybe one of those staff members or a couple of them have come to the top and really want to be in the entrepreneurial arena. But they know the customers. They know the staff that's in the shop. They know the processes. They know everything. And the internal sales are usually the most successful.
That's a great takeaway. That is just a wonderful takeaway. I've heard you speak, Bob, about the Millionaires Club. What's that?
I'm a very big believer, and it's been proven through our own clientele, that if you opened up a shop today and borrowed 100% of the money, hypothetically, and that's to finance it, whether it be the equipment, the whole business itself, that within 10 years, if you do not have a personal net worth in excess of $1 million, you did it wrong. That is how much money is available today in the aftermarket running a shop. And yet most people seem to have their head in the sand when it comes to looking at the opportunities to be profitable.
You've perfectly led into my next question. Can you quantify the effect of business training on a business? I've heard you speak. You go out and say, if you get this training, here's how much money. Tell us.
The fact is that for a dollar invested in education, you'll receive a $40 return. Now, most people look at a dollar invested in advertising gives you a $2 bump. That's studies been done by Harvard Business Review. When you invest in your education of yourself, your team, and your business, you get a $40 return. And the reason you get that kind of return is this, is once you have learned the knowledge, understand the knowledge, you now believe in the knowledge. When you believe in it, you start to implement the knowledge. But you get to use that knowledge over and over and over. And the returns are just huge. When you spend a dollar in advertising, you get a $2 bump and you got a little excitement and then it wears off. Now I got to reinvest more money into advertising to keep that excitement going. But in education, once you understand it, once you've really learned with it, it sticks with you.
What do you do about the forgetting curve? And that's something I've learned over the years. You go to a seminar, you put the book on the shelf, and if you don't go back and revisit it and look at it again and remind yourself why you went and what you're supposed to do, how does your company overcome the forgetting curve?
Because we have continuous education, and we plan out a year with any 2 to 3, 4 courses for our clientele, and also talking to them what type of training we feel they need and what are they looking for. But it's ongoing. So we get into the pattern of at least twice a year attending a class, at least. And in between there is all the personal coaching in between. So somebody's on their butt all the time.
Your company says e-learning center in it. E, is that all about being able to take courses online?
We do have an online course. That was the original beginning of our company back in 1999, and it was online. In fact, our stuff is used at the Automotive Business School of Canada up in Georgian College in Barrie, Ontario, as part of their curriculum. They use our e-learning center.
Bob, what do you find, and this is a great question, I love this, what do you find in the dynamics between a husband and wife team? How does it work?
Oh, wow. It's fantastic. I love to have women in the aftermarket, and I say it often, and the men don't really like it, but women get things done and men make up excuses. However, when you have a dynamic husband-wife team, you see a mutual respect amongst them, and it's really neat to see. In other words, the male respects the female's talents and allows her to exercise it, and the spouse, female spouse, recognizes the male's talents and lets him do his thing. But more importantly, when the dynamics work, they have at least a weekly meeting at their shop, in an office, closed doors, uninterrupted for an hour, to discuss business so that they're not discussing it and taking it home. And by doing that, they learn disciplines and routines in their business. And when the dynamic duo make things go, look out, they go.
So you like the wife's dynamic because she gets things done and she does it for you and the business.
You would just laugh so much when you have a husband wife come to our classes for the first time, and as he's hearing everything, she's hearing everything, and he's being kicked in the side. Pay attention. We have a lot of fun with it.
We're going to do this. Okay, honey, go ahead and do this. I have a future podcast coming up. I'm not going to mention any names. And I approached the shop owner at NACE, where I met you, and I saw your presentation, and I went up to him, and he says, "You got to see my wife. You got to see my wife." So she's been the one I've been in touch with ever since, and I think she actually wears the pants. and you probably know who it is. I'm not going to mention it on air. In fact, I basically said, "Well, hey, I'll interview you. That'd be great." But my goal, here's my goal. I have to tell you, this is my goal. I want to have my first husband and wife interview.
That would be a lot of fun,
and I hope they're just as cool as they are with me individually as they are together. But that's a great point, and I appreciate you bringing that up. You said too many business owners and managers are too busy not making money instead of slowing down and preparing their business to meet the customer's real needs and wants in their market area. How do you convince someone from not being too busy?
We show them the math. It's amazing what mathematics does. It doesn't lie. The emotions lie. Remember, the old aftermarket was brought up and built and educated by the commodity sector of the industry. The manufacturer, the WD, and the jobber are all in the commodity business. They need volume and they need cash to make their business work. So, of course, the first question they come in and ask a technician owner, "Are you busy?" Well, be price competitive and be busy. And my goodness, they just end up leading them down a garden path that doesn't work. The complexity of our business today, we are moving to out of the preventative maintenance model into a service on need model. So our clients have got to recognize they're being hired to advise their clientele. And your labor rate dictates your competency, because it is all about competency, and not price marketing your door rate. So slow down, educate the client. Are you getting 2.5 billed hours per invoice as an average? And if not, what's your problem? Actually, the industry's averaging 1.4 to 1.6 because they are not handling it properly. They're banging them in and banging them out. Those are the breakdown model business models that are too busy. And they believe repairing is what they're hired to do.
So you do the math. You show it to them. How many say, "I can't do that"?
You can't do it overnight, but it is a 2 to 3 year process to change it. And as long as you're focused on a routine that builds towards that and knows what to measure each and every day in your business and get your team on board and they understand it, wow, things happen. Case in point, we've had many of our clients, 10 bay operations, shut down their entire operation with 100% of their staff going through our classes. 2 days 1 week, 2 days the second week. And people say, that's crazy. Look at the sales you're missing. Look at the money you're paying out on wages. Look at the time plus tuitions. That's unbelievable. Interesting enough, you talk to any one of those clients, they had their money back in 45 to 60 days.
I was about ready to ask you next, how important is it to take the information you learn from your company and take it to the rest of the staff? Now, you're telling me up at one end is everybody comes, and on the other end are the guys sharing?
Very much so, but we even have the technicians go through our business management classes, and they are blown away. They didn't understand it.
Yep.
They said, now, oh, I didn't know what efficiency was all about. I didn't know why we set our labor rates like that. Wow. All of a sudden, the conversations start to go.
Years ago, I did a seminar for store managers called Profitability for Dummies, and every salesman had to be there. And they asked in the beginning, why am I here? And at the end, they go, wow, I'm glad I didn't miss it.
Right.
Is that what happens?
Yes, always. Because the owner can't explain it. They can't explain it when they get back. But by having everybody experience the same thing at the same time, the coffee breaks are lively, the lunch breaks are lively, and the after-class discussions are lively.
You said once that we're a knowledge-based business. Give me some behind the scenes on that.
We're a knowledge-based business in many areas, not just from the technical end of things, which is a very high skill to have that kind of knowledge, but also from the business perspective of being able to understand the customer you're selling to and building that relationship and understanding how to build that relationship in the client's best interest. We are being hired by them to manage their vehicle for safety and reliability. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We are not supposed to be selling them a job. We are supposed to be taking our time and educating the client based on their needs of that vehicle and how they use that vehicle.
You have five building blocks. They are vision. Tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Vision, ability or competency, motivation, resources, and action planning. Can you give me like 1 minute on each of those?
Vision starts, that's where it all starts with, the right vision. Where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? Then you've got to put the competency together, the people that bring that vision together, where, what kind of competency, and they're motivated because they believe in it. They don't want to buy into it. They believe in it. They want to be part of it. Too many owners talk about getting their staff to buy into something. I disagree with that. I want my staff to believe in where the company is going and how it's going to get there. That becomes part of your culture. And my biggest question I always ask is that, does everybody in that company have each other's back? And when you know an owner has a staff that has his back and the staff know that the owner had their back, the trust factor builds in the company and they move forward. They also need the tools to get it done. They've got to have the software. They've got to have the hardware. They've got to have whatever it takes to create that vision and get it to fruition. And then they have to have a measuring stick. And I call it the morning scrum, where your KPIs are talked about each and every morning with the staff before you open. It's only 5 to 8 minutes long. Everybody's gathered in the bays in a semicircle with their coffee, and management is reporting to the staff what we did yesterday, what KPIs were, what were our objectives, why did we meet them, why did we not meet them, and then what's on our plate for today.
Excellent. Thanks for the tour. Now, I want to, I may owe you some money, because occasionally I ask my guests if they have morning scrums. Mm-hmm. And I've said, I heard that from Bob Greenwood, and I want to ask you. So I've always given you credit when I asked that question, and I learned it from you.
Thank you.
I heard you mention the culture quite a lot today on the podcast. You is it like one of the most, the biggest umbrella you could have over your company?
Yes. You know, a lot of people... I'm a very big believer. Let me put it to you this way. I'm a very big believer that good people leave a company because bad people stay. And when you have a good, positive culture, people know about your company. People say it's hard to find good people in the industry. Good people are already working. But what if that good person is not really happy that they've been at the company they're with for 10 or 15 years and are looking for a change? Well, they can't even put together a resume because they're so out of touch. But they would like to be part of your company because they've heard about you. You've got a culture that, you know, you pay well. You've got a relaxing culture. It's not stress. Everybody gets to participate in the decisions, and it's an open conversation. Very hard to find in a lot of shops these days because management, the owner, doesn't embrace it and keeps everything a big secret. So the culture is openness. The culture is communication. The culture is trust. And when that culture is in place, it's amazing what happens to a shop.
Yeah, culture is what it's all about today. I'm reading a great book on culture, and I hope to have the author on one of these days to talk about culture. Bob, how can anyone get in touch with you or get on your website? Can you give us a URL?
Sure. www.aaec.ca is our website. You can also contact me at toll-free at 1-800-267-5497.
Excellent. Now, you're a Canadian company, yet North America is your market.
Backyard is North America.
Great.
I'm down in the States quite a bit.
And I know you've spoken and gotten so many awards. When I put up your bio on the site, people are going to need to have a long cup of coffee to read it. You've been an incredibly accomplished member of our industry. Now, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on. Any final great words of wisdom?
Carm, just encourage your people to have the discipline to see things through. Stick with it and create that vision and work towards it. But do your homework. Draw it out. Make sure you can see the road path clearly. And don't get sidetracked by the industry. Stick to it. Prove the mathematics. It won't mislead you. Just watch it and take that road, but stick with it. That self-discipline is critical.
Math is it, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't lie.
Yeah, wow. Well, Bob Greenwood, President and CEO of the Automotive Aftermarket e-Learning Center. Bob, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you, Carm. It's been a privilege of mine, too. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.